Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live on Facebook and YouTube every Tuesday at noon. Today, we're interviewing Matt Minnick at State Farm Insurance. We'll be talking about using life insurance to pay off your mortgage, why you should have life insurance policies separate from your employer, how very little this will cost you. Stick around.
Matt Minnick was born and raised in Peru, Indiana. He attended McConaughey High School and Indiana University at Kokomo. He's been married to his wife, Lynn, for 23 years, and they have two children together, Keaton and Maddie. Matt opened his State Farm office in Elwood in 2016. He offers a world of knowledge in all things insurance related. And if you haven't connected the dots yet and possibly recognize that last name, Matt's also my brother. So we're super excited to have him on the show today. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
full disclosure, Matt's at our mom's house right now in the middle of nowhere. So hopefully we don't lose him with that awesome internet I know she doesn't have.
Right. That'd be a good Christmas present maybe for you guys.
If she only had a tech-savvy son, that could help her out.
But. I know. Well, you can't do much out there, but... Well, hey, we've had you on before, and I know we talked about having you back to kind of cover life insurance, and not just life insurance in general, but like from a mortgage standpoint or as a homeowner standpoint. We're going to talk about how to use life insurance to kind of protect yourself, protect your spouse in the event something happens and you go from a household of two to a household of one. How does somebody make that payment, that kind of stuff? And this comes up a lot. This comes up a lot for us where people are kind of trying to figure out solutions for that. So, you know, how exactly would one person go about using life insurance to protect themselves after buying a home?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, I mean, and we'll put myself, you know, right now, my wife and I are building a house. It's I'll say my wife's dream home because she picked out about all of it. I was there, but you know, if something were to happen to me and she went down to just her salary, it would be really, really rough for her to afford everything. So, you know, with me having life insurance, if something were to happen, she gets the payout. She can use that to either A, pay off other stuff, to pay the mortgage payments, to do whatever. You know, we hear stories all the time of people that get their dream home, wife or husband passes away, and now they got to sell their house and move. And, you know, the kids were at the school they always wanted to be at. They had all their friends. Now they're half an hour away, different school district. They don't know anybody. It's just terrible. So it's amazing what $30 to $40 a month can do in the scheme of things if something bad were to happen. So it's just kind of one of those things you got to do.
And you're bundling that in, let me rephrase that. You're getting a life insurance policy large enough to cover the mortgage and then anything else you want it for, right? So, I mean, if you wanted a life insurance anyways, so that your spouse has X amount of dollars or funeral expenses or whatever, you're just increasing it to cover the mortgage.
Yeah. So if you take the word life, so typically when I talk to people, you know, you call me and ask me how much my car insurance, it's kind of cut and dry, you know, life insurance, what do I need? Well, if I don't know you and I don't ask the right questions, I don't know what your needs are, but we take life, you know, L would be liabilities. What all do you owe on? If your significant other's gone, what do you want them to pay off? You know, I would be income replacement. That's normally the biggest one, especially with little kids. I mean, you have a four-year-old, you've got 14 years of income replacement that's probably going to be needed. F would be for funeral or final expenses. And then E is, I usually just say other, education is really what it is, but sometimes it's other. I mean, there's people we talk to that say, look, I want to leave money for my daughter to have a wedding. You know, I still want to pay for it, even if something were to happen to me, because that's my job as a dad. There's all kinds of things. So the more you can talk to a professional and they get to know you, the better off they can help you with what you need.
There you go. That's awesome. You know, I've never heard it explained that away. And it's really good because then it hits those points on really – there are those important things in your life that you want to make sure that you cover. And it's not just your funeral expenses, mm-hmm. but it's like you said, your family, your house, the assets that you've had accumulated?
Well, and sometimes you'll get people that, you know, we prepaid the funeral. It's taken care of. I don't need anything. What they didn't plan was, you know, their husband was sick and in the hospital for 6 months prior to passing. Their funeral's paid for, but what about all the medical expenses? Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay for that? So, you know, and then as you're mourning your loved one, you're dealing with, oh my God, I'm going to lose my house. What's going to happen here? And it's just, you know, it's one of those, I won't say the only time, but most of the time when people come to me to ask about life insurance, it's already too late. It's, well, I had a heart attack last weekend and I'm better now. Now I need to look at it. Well,
yeah,
I've got stage two cancer. I'm going to beat it, but I need something to protect me just in case. So I guess if I ask you guys this, and we'll pretend we're on Family Feud for a second, because I've always wanted to go. Probably wouldn't take Ryan with me, but would like to go to Family Feud. But anyway, if you're on there and Steve Harvey asked, you know, we surveyed 100 people and, you know, what's your biggest asset? What do you guys think the number one answer would be?
Your home?
Yeah, their home.
Your home? Well, that's probably what the answer would be. But in reality, it's your ability to work. You know, it's your ability to bring that income in. That's your biggest asset. I mean, if you're 40 years old and you've got 25, 30 years of income, that far goes over what your house is worth. And well, if right. something happens to you.
Yeah. And most yeah, of the time, I mean, people don't owe, have their house paid off anyways. It's at that same correct. Point. They don't owe on it. So it's really not an asset. We just think of it as an asset.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you look at it this way, protect your cars with car insurance, protect your home with home insurance. If you had an ATM machine in your basement and every year you could walk down there and withdraw $50,000, would you protect that?
Yeah.
You're the ATM machine, because every year that you go to work and you bring that salary home, that's protecting that ATM machine. So if you're not doing that, that's what's paying for everything else that you have. I don't know. And, you know, and I tell people this, if you get it offered through work, do it. Get as much as you can possibly get with work. I'm not suggesting that you don't. It's pennies on the dollar what you're going to pay outside. The problem is whatever you have through work, even though, you know, you get to pick the beneficiary, it's up to them what they want to do with it. If they decide one year that, you know what, times are tough and we're not letting anybody go, but we're going to do away with some benefits, they own the policy. They can do whatever they want with it. The other thing is, like we just talked about when I said, you know, what do you owe? What would you want here? What would you want there? With work, typically it's 1, 2, maybe 3 times salary, maybe a flat 100,000. And most people that I talk to say, I'm covered. I have 100,000 with work. That's more than enough. And my thing is okay, I'll look at the husband and say, okay, you know, your wife passed away 7 months ago. You got $100,000. What do you have left today? And usually they look at each other and go, huh, I guess we didn't have enough. We thought 100,000 was a lot, but in reality, it's not going to do it.
So I took out a life insurance policy to cover, like, in the event that my brother would pass away so I could take care of his family. I mean, I'm assuming you probably did the same thing for me. But, like,
sure.
Explain the different types of life insurance policies. Because, you know, I know there's different types. There's policies you can put money into. And, you know, if you don't die, you get it back. Mm-hmm. Explain those. So somebody doesn't really know anything about life insurance. Like, what are the most common?
So most companies will offer 20 different variations, but in reality there's two different styles. There's permanent life insurance. You know, you're 41 years old, you get a policy at 41. It stays that price forever. You pay on it till the day you pass. It goes to your beneficiary. That, in a perfect world, is what everyone wants, because the price doesn't change. It also builds cash value. So as you're paying into it, there's a separate pool of money. Think of it like an escrow. There's money going into it, and then you can pull it out and do whatever you want with it. If you never touch it, it just adds to your death benefit when you pass. So that's the permanent life insurance that everyone wants. Now, there's also term insurance. Term insurance is typically what you have through work. That term would be your term of employment. You know, if you work at, you know, where whatever company X and you're there forever, when you leave them or you retire, that goes away and then you're without. The term insurance that you can get with, you know, an insurance company would be a 5-year term, a 10-year, 20, 30. So again, you take out a mortgage. Most people do what, 30-year mortgages still? You know, you take out a 30-year mortgage and it's a $200,000 loan, you can get a $200,000 30-year term. The whole time you have that mortgage payment, you have $200,000. If something happens to you, your significant other gets it and can pay the mortgage off. So that's the common one that we look at. That's the most cost efficient. Again, there's different needs for different insurance. The other misconception that most people have, well, I have this, I can't get it somewhere else because I already have it. Personally, I think I have 6-7 policies because I have different needs for different things. Some of them are permanent that I'll have forever. Some of them are just to cover something for the next 10 years or so, and then it goes away. You know, the other one that's great, you can do a 20-year term policy that's a return of premium. You pay about 3 times more for it, but at the end of it, the end of 20 years, everything you paid into it, if you didn't pass in 20 years, you sit in my office. And I've literally had people in my office say, well, Matt, that wasn't right. I paid you forever and you never paid out. And I say, well, you're still alive. I think that's a great thing, because the only way I would have paid out is you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So, but with this return of premium, I say, look, you're still here and you paid $20,500 over 20 years. Here's a check for $20,500. You get it all back. So you can do whatever you want with it. I think those are great for, you know, you have a baby. You do a 20-year term. At the end of 20 years, you get all that money back. And guess what? College, you know, you could pay for college for it. You could give them money for a down payment on a house. You could use it for a wedding, whatever you want. Supplement your retirement. So that's a good investment. Some people argue with me that, well, look, I'm, instead of paying you $100, I'm going to take $100. I'm going to give it to the bank. You know, City of First is getting $100 every month. Here's my thing. I don't know about you guys, but every time I start saving, you know, maybe my wife, somebody else sees it, possibly me, and says, man, I really want to go to Mexico. I'll pull that money out, go on vacation. Yeah. And it's gone.
Yeah.
Or I do it for 6 months, just like, you know, I'll tell you this. I've paid a gym membership for 3 years. I've been maybe 5 times. It's the same thing with people when they're trying to put money into a savings account. They start it. It's a good habit. And then they stop. With the life insurance, it comes out. It's a premium that, you know, we send you a bill and you pay it. And then at the end of it, you go, wow, I got all this money sitting here. This is awesome.
So, right.
Plus, if you took the same amount of money that you were going to pay into the premium, you stuck it in your bank account, even though you're drawing interest and you have it, if you die 2 years into that plan, you're not going to have the full amount.
Right.
Correct.
You're not going to have that much money saved.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, a lot of people don't know, we do investments too. And you know, someone will come into me and say, look, I'm 25 years old. I just got out of college. You know, I've got that paid down. I got a nice job. I got a nice income. I want to start planning for, you know, retirement, which is amazing to do. My thing is let's protect you first and let's invest second. No, I want to put $500 a month into a 401k. And if some, you know, later on down the road when I retire, I get all this money. Well, you put $500 a month in and you die in 5 years. That's what your wife's getting. That's it. You do $500 a month into a sweet life policy and you pass and she gets $1 million. It's a big difference.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, huge idea.
Yeah. I mean, protect first, invest second. And if you're protecting right, sometimes it's kind of a hybrid where it'll give you money at retirement too. You can do it right. You know, it's hard. I can't really tell personal stories. I'll tell you the guy that was the agent before me, when I took over, he was there for 50 years. And when he passed away a couple years ago, the life insurance that he had, I could see where he had taken money out throughout the years on it. I'm only speculating because he wasn't here to tell me, but I'm pretty sure he paid for some colleges. He paid for some weddings and a lot of the stuff for his kids as time went on because he invested properly with it. And then when he passed away, his wife got that as well. So it's pretty cool how it works.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Hey, one thing when you were talking about that, I know that for me, as I get older, I realize that the opportune time to really get a good policy with the premium coverage is when you're younger. That's when it's really like those first time home buyers, like you said, is when they really need to sit down with you to look at it and say, like, okay, now what do we protect? And like you said, okay, you got a child going to college, we've got the house, we got the vehicles, and trying to figure out how to protect them, not over the next 12 months, but over their life.
Correct. And you know, and you guys know this, and this is one we talk to people, they're renting and they go, look, we want to get a policy, but we're about to buy a house and we don't know what our mortgage payment's going to be. Let us get in, let us do that, and then we'll come talk to you. Here's my dilemma with that. And you guys know this. People look at the housing and you're telling them, you should be between $1,200 and $1,300 a month, somewhere in that ballpark, depending on what, how much your insurance is going to be, how much your taxes are going to be. You know, your escrow can go up or down every year. An extra $30 isn't going to kill you. You know, an extra $30 at the time of it, when you do it, you're not missing it. And what we typically ask people, Steve, is we'll go like this. You know what, Ryan, if I took $100 a month, is that drastically going to change your life? If the answer is yes, then let's go into a smaller policy. If the answer is no, then we move forward. And my thing is, and I've had people start policies, they do it for 2-3 years and they call me and go, hey, I got to cancel this out, it's just too much. And then it was like they did it for nothing. So, yeah. You know, if you get them in young, I started a policy when I was 20. You know, my son was born, we got married, I was 20 years old. Lynn and I started a policy very young that I still have to this day. But I'll be honest with you, 8 years ago, if you would have asked me about life insurance, I would have told you, I got a policy when I was 20. I'm great. It's not near enough. Yeah. I'm probably my best client. Actually, I'll rephrase that. I am my number one client. I still don't have enough protection on me. Most people we talk to think they do, but in reality, they don't.
It's all those little things that you keep talking about that people don't think about. It's like, hey, college is coming up, so I need to start saving back in a 529 or whatever, which is still good to do. But at the same point, you can also cap it. Like you said, if you've got a policy that gives you money back in 20 years, that's good as gold.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that protect first, invest second, that's pretty powerful, right? I mean, and that's probably not a mindset that most people take.
And Ryan, if you look at it this way, if you talk to any investment planner, they're going to tell you that you've got to have stuff in different places and have a great portfolio. And the foundation of that should be very solid. There's nothing more solid than a life insurance policy because it's guaranteed when you pass. So if something happens, I mean, if all your money's in the market, it's hard telling what's going to happen. It could go up. You could make a ton of money, but you could also lose it. But yeah, if you have that guarantee with the life insurance company, something happens to me, my wife's going to get this. As long as you pay that premium, it's going to happen. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And so question on the mortgage side, because Ryan, I get it. And I know that especially in Indiana, it's probably all over, is mortgages are public record. So when somebody purchases that house, they get bombarded with mail. Even when we refinanced a couple of years ago, we got a ton of mail, but some of them come in are for like, life insurance to protect your mortgage, you know? And so there's solicitations for that. Is that typically just like you were talking about earlier, a term policy that you look at to say, hey, if I just want to protect that, you're going to go into something like that to protect it for a short term or the term of the loan?
Yeah, I mean, it more than likely, usually when you see those, when they say that, hey, price is as low as, you know, $9 a month or whatever, a lot of that's very, very entry level, but that's still okay. And, you know, when we sit down with people, if I sit down with you guys and I go over, you know, that life needs analysis, that LIFE, your liabilities, your income replacement, you know, we go through that and I spin that number around and you see 1.7 million. I just spin the number around and people go, holy cow. And I said, well, look, you got 200 with work. So now we're down to 1.5. The good news is you're here and we can take care of it. So then we look at something that works for them. And a lot of times, even at the end of it, if we come up with 500,000, you're still better off than when you came in. So sometimes it's not about taking the whole nest egg at once, but we're still protecting a little more than we did. So something's always better than nothing. You know, right. Even if it's 100,000, it's still, you know, your wife gets 100,000. That gives her enough time to go, okay, what am I going to do here? Am I going to sell the house and move somewhere else? Am I going to do this? But at the meantime, that 100 grand goes into paying the mortgage payments and getting something figured out of what you can do, you know, where if you don't have anything, you got what, 45 days before you start getting letters? I don't know. I don't know how long it takes.
Right.
And I'll tell you guys this, and this is one of those that, you know, right now it's funny we're talking about this because it's National Life Insurance Awareness Month is in September. So, is it? Yeah, it is. And we're actually, I've got a couple of girls in my office that they're just calling our clients and asking them, you know, hey, outside of work, where do you have it at? And you would be amazed at how many people go, don't call me on that. I don't want to talk about that. And our thing is I'd rather ask you now than to tell your wife when she calls in when you do pass that you didn't have it. I mean, it's a hard conversation, but let's have it now while we can fix it. And I guarantee you, if you pass, I'm the only guy at your funeral walking in with a check for $500,000.
Right.
I mean,
and then, yeah. And on that, because I know it's the same way. It's like, it's that, but everybody's afraid they're going to get put in a corner or something. And then it starts talking about insurance. Because I think deep down, we all realize that we need to have more than what we have, but it comes with a cost. But the way right. You explain it, it's like you got to protect. So use it as an investment. You're protecting mm-hmm. yourself, but you're also using that as a, you know, potential investment for your family and your needs, somebody's needs down the road.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also one of those, I mean, you know, there's tobacco rates, non-tobacco rates. Obviously, the older you are, tobacco rates are going to be a little higher. There's a little bit more risk. And my thing with that is, well, what'd you spend last month on tobacco? You could probably use that and protect everything, but you know, and it's funny, you know, I don't know if you guys have looked at it, but guys are usually more expensive than females. And I think it's because, you know, guys are more into, hey, watch this, hold my beer. And we do stupid stuff. And we're also the ones that, you know, oh, I'm hurting, but I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm okay. Where, you know, females are typically, I'm going to go to the doctor and see what's going on. So
right.
we're talking medical insurance. Females are a little higher because they use it. We're talking life insurance. Guys are always more expensive because mortality table says that guys just don't live as long. So, and I think it's because the hold my beer. That's just my thought on it.
Yeah, it's probably pretty accurate, really, when you say it on there. It's that's all that common stuff. I just keep thinking about, like, you know, early on in life, if you could, it's just the same way. We use the same analogy for people with invested in your 401k, right? When you have an opportunity to start an IRA or a 401k, get it going. Earlier you do that, the better you're going to be in life. It's the same way with the insurance. If you can get it, like you said, and it's not just one policy, you can get multiple policies. I think that's
correct.
I mean, you just said that you've got several ones that you have for different coverage on you.
Yeah, I do. And a lot of ours, I mean, you start off with a term policy. With us, they're all convertible. You can convert them over to a whole life policy or a permanent policy at any point without medical underwriting. So the idea is, let's just get you a policy today. Let's get you something you can afford, something to protect in case something happens. That's all insurance is. It's all about transfer of risk. It's you know, how much of that risk do you want to transfer? And that's what we're here to do. And again, it only works if it's something just like a mortgage. If you guys get somebody approved for a mortgage at $1,500 and 2 years into it, they go, I can't afford this anymore. They did it for nothing. I mean, it's the same thing with this. You got to have that plan in place that, hey, I can do this as long as I need to.
Yeah, a commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Good.
Again,
anything else for us?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, again, I think probably one of the happiest days people have in life is, you know, outside of, you know, weddings and kids, stuff like that. It's getting their dream home. I mean, you get your dream home, you get into it, you're all excited. You know, you probably had good luck with Steve. You had to talk to Ryan at some point. Sorry, but you know, it went great. And then something happens to you and you lose it. All I'm saying is just spend 10 minutes, look at it, make sure it's protected for you.
Right.
I think he's cutting out. I think he's cutting out.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Hey, before we say bye to Matt, if you liked what you've heard today, please be sure to like this video. Share it with your friends and be sure to subscribe so we can see more of it each week, Tuesday at noon. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks guys. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. So next week we'll be interviewing Joe Martino from the Wyman Group. Joe's an avid outdoorsman and he specializes in lakefront real estate. If you've ever thought about buying a lake home, Joe's going to give you some tips and things to look for when choosing a lake to buy on. Be sure to watch us next Tuesday at noon.